My, my, my. Are you the church?
Yes.
You know, we, I don't know if you can put that visual up of the Shift logo. It should be on the desktop maybe. I don't know. But a year ago, I guess it's almost been a year now, we were in a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And this vision came. It talked about earthquakes and a shifting. And it was revealed, you know, when these tectonic plates under the earth or these earth plates move around, they create these earthquakes. And sometimes they get caught and snagged. And when they pull apart, it creates earthquakes. And so we believe that a shift is coming, is even here now in the realm of the Spirit. And part of that vision that went forth was that, if you, I know you can't see it in this image here, but you can see the rings going out. And if you look, this is the epicenter of those rings, or the center of those rings. Well, in the background is a map of this area of Christiansburg, and it's real faint, you can't see it, but CGC, the church, is right in the center of that. And so we believe that as part of this shift, CGC, and say, I'm the church.
I'm the church.
Not the building. I know the building is on the center, but you are the church. You are the center of this shift. And I think God gave me a real revelation of this just recently. You know, it's not the building that these shockwaves are going to go out from into the community. It's not me and what I'm saying, or Pastor Rob and what he's saying, or anybody that enters this pulpit and what they're saying. Listen to this. It's you. It's you that are going to carry these shockwaves out into our community. We need to get a revelation of that. It is you. You, 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 all of you are going to carry this shockwave, this shift, out into our community. It is starting in the supernatural, but it is going to manifest in the natural. Do y'all see what I'm saying? I just want you to, I want to keep bringing that to the forefront of your thinking, to the forefront of your heart, and not let go of it, because you are the shockwave. You are the church. You're the ones making the impact. You're the ones making a difference. I'm just here to help. I'm just here to cheerlead you on. Yeah! Go get them! Amen?
Amen.
So, with that, keep that in mind, that you are the church, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that you are changing lives. You know that phrase that you hear all the time. You might be the only Bible someone reads. As they see God in you, as they see Jesus Christ living in you, as you are the light of the world, right? Amen?
Amen.
So just keep that rolling around in you. Don't let it go. Meditate on that. Meditate on it. Think about it. Think about how you are the church. Ask God, God, how? How can you use me? What can I do? You can do much if you ask, if you're bold enough to ask. And we're going to learn about asking. In fact, the title of my message is The Law of Asking. And y'all say, law? Ooh, wait a minute. That's a scary word, right? Aren't we redeemed from the curse of the law? Yes, we are. But let's dig down into this a little bit. So a definition for you. I know, Wanda, you love definitions. Definitions of law. The system of rules that a particular country or community recognizes as regulating the actions of its members and may enforce by the imposition of penalties. Let me read that again. The system of rules that a particular country or community recognizes as regulating the actions of its members and may enforce by the imposition of penalties. And when we think of law, I mean, some of us at least, maybe some more than others, we do. We think of that word penalty, don't we? The law is enforced, and when you break the law, You receive the penalty thereof, right? You break a physical law, you get penalized, right? If you go down the road and you're doing 92 in a 70-mile-hour zone, that's called reckless driving, 20 miles over the speed limit. You can land in jail for that if the officer is mean and wants to do that. Or you can serve a financial penalty for doing that, right? We all know that. How many has gotten speeding tickets in here? Yeah, we've done this before. I see a lot of hands every time. I think hands get added every time. Some of y'all got to put two hands up in the air. Oh, Lord. Well, the opposite, let me listen to this. The opposite, it's the opposite for spiritual law. And that's what I really want to talk about is spiritual law. See, if you break a physical law, you get penalized. Well, let's look at it on the spiritual side. If you obey a spiritual law, you get rewarded. Doesn't everybody like the sound of that? Reward. You get rewarded, right? You don't, if you're going down the road, driving Miss Daisy, 55 miles an hour in a 50-mile-hour zone, the police officer is not going to pull you over and give you a bouquet of flowers and reward you for doing the speed limit, is he? Although I have seen on the internet that cops are stopping people and like saying thank you for being a good citizen or something like that. But typically, you are not going to get rewarded for obeying the physical or natural law. But when you obey the spiritual law, you are going to get rewarded. And that's what I want to look at today. Amen? Does that make sense to y'all? Physical, you're not rewarded. Spiritual, you are rewarded. But there's some criteria, so let's go to Scripture. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to read in verse 7. We're talking about the law of asking. Verse 7 in chapter 7 of Matthew says, "Keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Or what man is there of you, if his son asks him for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will hand him a serpent? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him?" Asking him. You know, I wish my parents would have read that scripture when I was about 16 and I was ready for my first vehicle, my first car. My friend, my best friend in high school, his dad had this Mustang. And we would ride in that thing, and he'd pull up to a stop sign, and that thing would just rock. And we'd be in that back seat, just rocking under the engine and idle. I'm like, man, this is what I want. This is what I want. So it's time for my first car. Dad, I want a Mustang just like Mike's dad's. I want a Mustang just like his. We sit in the back seat and that thing rumbles. He said, "Son, I'm glad that's what you want. But look at what you get." A Ford Country Squire station wagon that's 400 feet long with wood paneling sides. But hey, you can carry all your friends in this. I know, Dad, I can carry half the school in this thing. I don't want the Country Squire station wagon. I want the Mustang. He didn't have any idea about this scripture. He gave me the stone. He gave me the snake. He didn't give me the Mustang. Amen. But what does it say? Ask, ask, ask. Keep on asking, and your Father, who is good, will give it to you. Amen? Turn to Mark chapter 4. Bless my heart. I know it. I drove that thing, Reggie. I drove that thing to school for a year. I'd wear a hat and sunglasses and put something over top of me so nobody knows. I drove that thing. And you know what I used to do? Oh, this is bad. Look at it. I am surprised there's still a transmission in that thing. This thing had a Holley four barrel in it, right? Big 460 engine in that thing. I would be sitting at a stop sign, drop that thing into neutral. Whoom, whoom, whoom. Throw that thing in the drive. Whoom! Oh, man, I said, I can't have my Mustang, but I got some power in this thing, boy. I'm surprised there was a transmission left in that thing. Yes, I drove it. Boy, did I drive it. I about drove it into the ground. I don't think it was much of a family car after I was done with it. Oh, wood paneling sides, guys. Y'all better be glad. I'll tell you what. They are blessed. These are some blessed children right here, be driving them nice vehicles and nicer than mine almost sometimes, but they are. They're very grateful. I will say that. Very appreciative. I ought to dig that thing up out of a graveyard, resurrect it, bring it back, and present it to Levi when he gets ready to drive. Wouldn't that be bad? That would be bad. Oh. Glory to God. Whew. We better get back to Scripture. This is getting out of hand. Where are we at? Mark chapter 4. We're talking about the law of asking, asking, asking. Don't y'all share this with Levi. He'll be asking me. No, I'm just kidding. Mark chapter 4, verse 12. Says, and he amplifies, says, in order that they may indeed look and look, but not see and perceive, and may hear and hear, but not grasp and comprehend, lest haply they should turn again, and it their willful rejection of the truth should be forgiven them. I don't know if I wanted to start there. He said to them, verse 13, do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all? This is not where I want to be. I think it might be 14. Let me try 14. That's the sower sows the word. Well, praise God. We're sowing the word. We just don't know which word we're sowing right now. No, that's not where I want to go either. 11? Mark 11? Is that where I wanted to go? I believe it is. Yes, yes. Thank you, Judy. Mark 11, verse 12. And this is, you know this parable. It's about the fig tree. It says, on the day following, when they had come away from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, he went to see if he could find any fruit on it. For in the fig tree, the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves. But when he came up to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the fig season had not yet come. And he said to it, no one ever again shall eat fruit from you. And his disciples were listening to what he said. And they came to Jerusalem, and he went into the temple, the area, the porches and the courts, and began to drive out those who sold and bought in the temple area. And he overturned the four-footed tables of the money changers and the seats of those who dealt in. I'm glad we didn't overturn the tables of all of our vendors. They wouldn't have come back, I don't think. We'll just keep reading down. I think I want to get to it. I may have started too soon here. And he would not permit anyone to carry any household equipment through the temple enclosure, thus making the temple area a shortcut traffic lane. And he taught and said to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have turned it into a den of robbers. And the chief priests and the scribes heard of this and kept seeking some way to destroy him, for they feared him because the entire multitude was struck with astonishment at his teaching. And when evening came on, he and his disciples, as accustomed, went out of the city. In the morning, when they were passing along, they noticed that the fig tree was withered completely away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Master, look, the fig tree which you doomed has withered away." And Jesus replied and said to them, "Have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you," and here's the point I wanted to get to. "For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything," we're not going to go into that. What is he saying? He just gave them this parable. He just went, he cursed the fig tree. The fig tree, we know the rest of the story, withered down to nothing. And the disciples, the apostles, were amazed at this. They were amazed at this. And then he comes back and says, "Look, this is nothing, really. Whatever you ask, he will do it for you." But let's continue and look at James chapter 1, because we can't stop there. You know, this is I'm jumping out ahead of myself. I don't want to go there yet. But I do have a point to make about that. So y'all just keep that feather in your cap, and we're going to circle back and maybe answer some of those questions you may have. James chapter 1 in verse 5 says this: "If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Only, it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers or hesitates or doubts is like a billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord." So there's a condition there, right? We can't just ask for anything, right? We can't just ask for a Mustang, right? No, it has to be in faith. Maybe I didn't have enough faith for a Mustang at that point. It has to be in faith. No wavering, no doubting. And you know, listen, you know when you are not asking in faith. There's this little small still voice inside of you that says, come on, that was not in faith. You know it. There was that little seed of doubt. There was that hesitation. Have you ever gone, this is just an example that I've experienced. Have you ever known for a fact from the Spirit of God that you were supposed to pray for someone? And you did pray for them, but in the back of your mind thinking, man, these prayers are not going to work. This is not happening. This is just not right. I'm not believing what I'm saying. That doubt. There was no faith in those prayers. So, when we ask God, it has to be in faith, right? That's one key. One key. In faith, no doubting. But the first one is, we have to ask. That's the first step, is asking. So, let's look over at 1 John chapter 3. In verse 19. "By this we shall come to know, perceive, recognize, and conciliate, and pacify." "By this we shall come to know, perceive, recognize, and understand that we are of the truth and can reassure, quiet, conciliate, and pacify our hearts in His presence. Whenever our hearts, in tormenting self-accusation, make us feel guilty and condemn us, for we are in God's hands, for He is above and greater than our consciences or our hearts, and He knows, perceives, and understands everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. And beloved, if our consciences, our hearts, do not accuse us, if they do not make us feel guilty and condemn us, we have confidence that is complete assurance and boldness before God. And we receive from Him whatever we ask because we watchfully obey His orders. We observe His suggestions and injunctions, follow His plan for us, and habitually practice what is pleasing to Him. And this is His order, His command, His injunction, that we should believe in, put our faith and trust in, and adhere to and rely on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and that we should love one another just as He commanded us. So what do we see there, right? We can ask, and when we ask and our hearts don't condemn us, we ask in boldness. In verse 22 it says, and we receive from Him whatever we ask because we watchfully obey His orders. We obey His orders. We obey His orders. Keep that in mind. And then look down at 1 John 5, verse 13. It says, and I write this to you who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the name of the Son of God, and the peculiar services and blessings conferred by Him on men, so that you may know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have life, yes, eternal life, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will. Say, His will. According to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. And if since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of Him. The requests made of Him. What am I doing here? I am trying to build up your faith in asking God for things. But there are some conditions when you ask. One, it's got to be in faith. No wavering, no doubting. Two, it has to be in obedience when you hear from Him. Anything that He says or shares with you, right? And three, it has to be according to His will. You can't just ask, ask for $1 million. You know, it's got to be in according to His will and what the Word says. And what is His will? Well, it's everything right here in this book, contained in this Bible. Verse 14, ask anything, make any request according to His will, agreement with His plan, His plan. We were here Wednesday night, and Carol Fisher shared, this is what the Lord has been laying on her heart. Coming out of Psalm 2:8, asking for the nations. He laid that on her heart. And she was in awe of this. I mean, rightfully so, right? Asking for the nations. You know, that's a pretty bold request, isn't it? And so you could tell by the way she was sharing it when the Lord first laid it on her heart, that there was some hesitation. There was some doubt. But as she meditated on that, as she sought the Lord on what that meant to her, you know, that faith started to rise up inside of her. And she was asking in boldness Wednesday night for the nations. And we can equivalent the nations to unsaved people We're asking for unsaved people. You know, I don't want to hear any more about these churches growing and growing and growing when all they're doing is transferring people from one church to the other. I want to see real church growth of unsaved souls. Amen. People coming in to the kingdom of God and getting trained up. Getting grown up in righteousness. Being taught faith. How to stand on their own. How to stand on the Word of God. How to change their life. Knowing their destination, their eternal destination has changed. And then how to go about and share that with others. That's the growth I want to see. When we say Christian Growth Center, yes, we want to grow people up into righteousness. We want to grow them up in the Lord, grow them up in their authority that is rightfully theirs. But I see growth also people coming in to Christian Growth Center, not from another church. God bless these churches that are doing their thing, right? I don't want to take from them and what they're doing. No, I want to take from the devil. That's who I want to take from. Snatch that life out of his hand. Put it over into God's hand. Amen? That's why I think something like what we did the other day is just cool. You know, people coming in off the street don't know us. We don't know them. God is going to show us. God's going to show us how to harvest the souls in these last days. So we asked boldly for souls on Saturday. We talked about that, you know. We asked boldly, God, give us the nations, give us the people, give us the unsaved. Bring them in. Let them come into relationship with you, the one that can save their souls. Amen? We need to be asking for harvest and not so much ourselves. Now, and what do I mean by that? I mean, there is time and it's okay to ask for things for yourselves, I believe. Absolutely. Hey, I'm a prosperity preacher. I believe in prosperity for individuals. I do. But why? What's the purpose of me wanting to prosper myself? It's so I can bless other people. So I can give resources to other people. So I can share with other people. I don't want to hoard it up. I don't want to build big barns and hoard it up for myself. No. I want it to go out and reach out. Amen? Amen. We got to start believing for the harvest. We got to start asking for the harvest. I mean in sincerity, asking for the harvest. And when you ask, you better watch out. Because if you ask in faith and you do what the Lord tells you to do, and it's according to His will, His answers are always what? Yes. Thank you. I'm not done yet. Asking for blessings to be a blessing. And I'll just take you right back to what we shared with the offering, Philippians, you know, 4:19. Asking for God to richly bless us. I believe it's so that we can give out of that blessing. Give out of that blessing. Amen? There's nothing wrong. Listen, don't get me wrong. Somebody's going to walk out of here and I want to straighten out that right now very clearly. I am for prosperity. I am for being blessed, richly blessed. But there's more to it than just being blessed. Amen? Amen? How many has ever jumped on a bandwagon? Huh? How many don't know what a bandwagon is? When you jump on a bandwagon, you know, you get in with what everyone else is doing, you know, how many remember years ago, I don't know how long it's been now, there was a little book called The Prayer of Jabez. Anybody read that book? Has anybody heard more about that lately? Have you? Joseph Prince has shared about that? What did it talk about? It was, and well, you can just turn there. It's in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. The prayer of Jabez, or Jabez, or however you want to say it. 1 Chronicles 4:10. Let's read this. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Jabez cried to the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and you would keep me from evil so it might not hurt me." And what does it say? God granted it. He granted it. You know, that book was written, sold millions and millions and millions of copies. Obviously, pastors still talking about it today, the prayer of Jabez. It's one verse in the Bible. One verse. Why? Why did God grant Jabez his prayer? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Read verse 9. Somebody just read that to me. Just shout it out. Read it, Judy. No, that first sentence really was where I was going. God answered him because he was more honorable than his brothers. We don't know any more information about Jabez. That's really the only mention of Jabez in the entire Bible. And so what is my point? What are you saying is your point here? Well, I believe you can be prosperous, that God will bless you. Jabez asked. We're talking about the law of asking. But he was more honorable than his brothers. So there was some background there. We don't know the whole background, but I believe it has to line up with what we've just shared. Amen? But let me encourage you in this. You cannot... this is not gospel a la carte. Anybody order a la carte? Huh? You get to go in there and you pick what you want, right? You can't just order a number 4 and get the whole meal. You can go in there and say, "No, I want the white rice. I want the chicken. I don't want the shrimp. I want the lo mein noodles with that. I want the..." This is kind of what I'm getting at. I want to have today, I think. Gospel a la carte. You can't pick and choose. Someone will take that verse, that prayer of Jabez, and run with it and live by it. And you can't do that. You got to take the entire gospel together. Because someone will read that and read that book and read that prayer and say, "Well, prosperity is for me." But not know why or how if they don't read what we just read in the gospels. You got to take it in its entirety, all together. Ask. So, let me wrap this up. Make it real plain, real clear. I know I don't typically like bullet points. I've said that before. I don't like bullet point sermons. But I've got 4 bullet points for you. 1, ask. Don't be afraid to ask. We don't. I'm telling you what, growth class has been tremendous for me personally, and I believe it is for all those that are coming. And if you can't come, I understand, but if you can and you don't, I don't understand. There is some tremendous value. We are going in deeper about prayer, about relationship with God. I mean, I'm just telling you, it blesses me. It blesses me. We need to go deeper in relationship with God so that when we ask, we're not just asking out of our selfish concerns. But when we do ask, number 2, we're asking in faith with no doubt. No doubt. And when is there no doubt? It's when you're in that close relationship. And how do you get in close relationship? I mean, I know all of you, most of you, not all of you. There's a few new faces. But I'm not in deep relationship with all of you. I'm not in close relationship with all of you. How do you get to know someone better? You spend time with them. You spend time with them. I got to know Bob and Jan Goad better because we spent a little bit of time together at the Art of Marriage out at Spirit Wind a couple weeks ago. I know them better now than before. Why? Because we spent time. We were sitting in chairs by the fireside, laughing. We were having a good, weren't we having a good time? Laughing. And I'll tell you this. My wife believes they're going to find Sasquatch someday. You can't convince her otherwise, Reggie. Bigfoot. Y'all know who I'm talking about.
Driving a station wagon, panel station wagon.
He would fit in that Ford station wagon. You're right. I need to get that thing so we can put him in it. Lay down them seats and throw him right in there. Pop his head. Oh, Lord. That thing, we called them suicide seats in the back. I don't know if they were, but these seats were all the way in the back. They'd fold up like this, and you could fit probably another 10 people back there in the back. Anyways, we had a good time. So that was a little inside joke. So where am I at? Ask, don't doubt, and obey. Listen, obey. There can be a step. Now, this, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Number 3 sometimes can be skipped, but sometimes it can't. What do I mean by that? Well, we just read in Philippians 4:19, you know, before they God richly blessed them, they were giving. There was a step, and they were told to give, right? So if you ask and you don't waver, you're not in doubt, you're in faith, God may say or tell you to do something. And it may be before you get what you ask for. And I'm telling you, if you don't obey, you may not get what you ask for. But the Word wants you to obey. The Word says to obey what God says. Y'all have heard my testimony. I'll share it just briefly for those that haven't heard it. Nikki and I believed, confessed, for supernatural debt cancellation. For years, we confess this. One day, right up in Daleville, right down the road, up near Roanoke, a guy walked up into my farm. I was in my barn, petting my horse, minding my own business. Walked right up and said, I want to buy a piece of your land. Long story short, paid off everything that we owned. But there was an obey before that. And it was that we were to pay off someone's debt in a certain area. We did it, and God answered our request. That is how it works, people. It is how it works. If you will ask, not waver, obey when you hear the word of the Lord to you personally. And it is according to His will, is the fourth part. It is according to His will. Oh, He'll bless you beyond measure. Beyond measure. Amen? So we are asking for the nations. We are asking for the unsaved people. And I ask that y'all join in with me on that request. To ask for souls. To ask for the harvest, like that banner says. Ask for the harvest. We, you know, time is getting short, and it's time to, not that we haven't been serious, I'm not trying to belittle that our entire Christian walk, but we need to recognize the times. We need to recognize the times. Right? Didn't he say, you can read the sky and know when it's going to rain or storm, but you don't know. You need to recognize the times that we are in. The serious of reaping that harvest and not just playing church or playing Sunday morning. Well, it's time to get serious in your prayer life, serious in your walk with God, serious in your relationship with God, spending more time with God on a regular basis. Because He'll speak to you. He will speak to you when you spend time with Him. So I'm asking that. I'm asking for all of us to join in this effort in these last days to ask for the harvest. I sincerely ask for the harvest. And He'll show us. I believe He'll prepare us. Right? He'll show us how to do it. And what does the Scripture say? He'll draw them in. He'll draw them in. Amen?
Amen.
Did y'all get anything out of this?
Amen.
Well, you know, we just want to, like I said, I want to be your biggest cheerleader if I can. I just want to encourage you week to week to live out what that book says. I'm encouraged week to week to go deeper with God in the area of prayer and spending time with Him. So I just want y'all to, we're all in this together, right? I can't do it without you. You can't do it without me. We can't do it without each other. We got to do it together. But we got to get to know one another too. We got to walk in love towards one another. Because when we're in love with one another, the world will see that and they'll want what we have. Amen? Father, I just thank You. I thank You for this time that we can come together and just share Your Word. Words of encouragement, I pray. Words of understanding and revelation and new knowledge to some, Lord. But, Father, just words words that we can take away and apply to our life. Holy Spirit, just seal those words to us so that we'll take them away with us out into our community, our jobs, our homes, wherever we go, so that we can be that light that You've commanded us to be. We can walk in that ministry of reconciliation, reconciling a lost world unto You. Show us our part. Show us our plan individually. Show us our destiny, just like Jeremiah 29:11. Show us the hope that You have for us, for this world, and our part that we play in it. Not only individually, but as a corporate body. How we can play our part. Play it successfully, with excellence, with understanding of Your will. And Father, we know that we can come boldly before Your throne room of grace. We can ask. We can have faith for it. We'll obey You, Lord, as long as it's according to Your will. In Jesus' name. Amen.